Tonight, countries around the world taking drastic action to stop the spread of a new COVID variant. The new travel warning from the U.S. State Department. New York declaring a state of emergency. Israel banning all foreign visitors in an attempt to keep the Omicron variant out, as the United Kingdom imposes new restrictions for all arriving travelers.
This variant is spreading around the world.
As the first cases are detected there. New questions about how transmissible and dangerous Omicron is, and the warning today that the variant is likely already in the U.S. We talked to the experts to get you answers.
How worried should we all be about this?
Back to businesses. Shoppers are out in force as we enter peak holiday shopping season, but many are asking, where are the deals? Smash and grab, the new round of shocking robberies putting communities on high alert across the country. War of words, a Republican congresswoman under fire for an anti-Muslim joke directed at a member of Congress, her apology tonight, and why Democrats say it's not enough. An angel from above, the World War II pilot who never stopped saving lives.
This is NBC Nightly News with Jose Diaz-Balart.
Good evening. Developments came at lightning speed today as officials around the world took major steps to stop the spread of that brand new COVID variant named Omicron. Israel is taking the most extreme measures, announcing late today no foreign visitors will be allowed in. Suspected cases of the new variant popped up around the world today in the UK, Netherlands, Italy, and Germany, joining previously known cases in other countries across the globe. We know you have a lot of questions about this new variant, and in a moment, we will lay out what we know and don't know about how dangerous it is. But we begin with Gabe Gutierrez and the rapid global response.
Tonight, drastic measures to contain the Omicron variant. Israel, which is one confirmed case so far, now banning foreign visitors for 2 weeks, the first country to completely close its borders. The UK also tightening rules on travel and mask wearing.
This is the responsible course of action to slow down the seeding and the spread of this new variant.
British citizen and business traveler Henry Warren now says he's stuck in South Africa.
We failed spectacularly at that, despite a rapid drive to the airport to try and see if there was any flights leaving. So now we're kind of in limbo, hoping we can get home for Christmas.
Also today, Britain, Germany, and Italy announced their first Omicron cases. They follow Belgium. More countries now clamping down on travel from southern Africa. 61 people flying from the region to the Netherlands have tested positive for COVID. Authorities now checking how many are infected with the new variant.
We're going to take every precaution, and so that's why we've taken the measures we have.
The Biden administration's new travel restrictions from South Africa and seven other surrounding countries are set to take effect on Monday. Today, the CDC and State Department advising against travel to the region. This morning, passengers from there arriving at Newark after a long flight.
We just heard about it. We were just hoping we would be able to get out of there last night. So luckily we made it.
New York's governor has declared a state of emergency starting next week, allowing the state to increase hospital capacity and fight potential staffing shortages. No Omicron cases have been identified yet in the U.S., but experts say it's likely the variant is already here.
I would not be surprised if it is. We have not detected it yet, but when you have a virus that is showing this degree of transmissibility, it almost invariably is ultimately going to go essentially all over.
Scientists are now scrambling to study Omicron. Early indications are that it's highly contagious because of its many mutations.
This is a real reminder to us all that this pandemic is far from over.
And Gabe joins us live from JFK Airport in New York. Gabe, will the new travel restrictions taking effect Monday apply to American citizens?
No, Jose. The restrictions don't ban flights or apply to American citizens or lawful permanent residents, but they do prevent foreign visitors from South Africa and those seven surrounding nations from arriving here in the U.S., Jose.
Gabe Gutierrez in New York, thank you. We know you have a lot of questions about this. So we want to take a step back for a closer look at why the world is reacting so aggressively to this new variant and what you should do in your own day-to-day life. Even as the world rushes to stop the spread of this new variant, there is still so much we don't yet know.
We just unfortunately don't have enough data yet. This is all early data. We don't actually know if what we have observed in this brief moment in South Africa's epidemiology is really heralding that this might be a worldwide threat.
What has public health officials across the globe so concerned, though, are the large number of mutations seen in this strain.
What do we know about this variant?
The reason this variant is of concern is because it has many more mutations in this one variant, including many on the spike protein.
That spike protein is the part of the virus that helps it infect humans, and the Omicron strain has some 30 mutations on it alone.
The concerning part is these mutations that we've seen before in other places and other variants seem to be the kind of mutations that can both increase the transmissibility, making it easier from one person to pass it to another, but potentially also evade the immune system.
And many of the mutations in Omicron are similar to the highly contagious mutations in Delta.
So do we know if it is indeed more transmissible than, for example, the Delta variant?
I think if you look at the data out of South Africa, it does appear that it is more transmissible than Delta. But I think, again, this is sort of a small sample size.
That small sample size is only around 100 confirmed cases of Omicron in South Africa. But officials in that country describe an exponential rise in overall COVID cases there and blame the new variant, with many likely not yet confirmed, as to whether it's more dangerous once infected.
So we actually don't know anything about the kind of disease that it causes in terms of increased mortality or different disease features.
Here in the U.S., public health officials are promoting vaccines and now boosters as the best defense against this new variant.
It is absolutely essential that unvaccinated people get vaccinated and the vaccinated people get boosters.
So do we know if the vaccines, the ones that are, for example, the ones that we've taken in the United States, are they effective?
I think that's a question that we will hopefully have information on in the next couple of weeks.
And one thing that I would say that might set people's minds at ease is that to date, no variant has been able to completely evade the immune memory that's from vaccine.
If not, the vaccine makers say they're already working toward an Omicron-specific vaccine. On Monday, the U.S. will join other countries in banning flights from South African countries.
Will this travel ban help, you think, Dr. Bedelia?
I think, the best that travel bans can do is slow the spread. They can't actually stop the spread of variants.
Experts stress just how much this is the early stages. Here in the U.S., the CDC hasn't officially confirmed any cases of the Omicron variant.
How worried should we all be about this?
I think you should obviously pay attention. I mean, even without this variant, Delta's still here. Delta is still causing cases.
The best thing you can do is not panic. If you haven't been vaccinated, to get vaccinated. If you haven't gotten boosted, to get boosted. If you're sick, to get tested. Really, that's the best thing you can do.
There's just so much we still don't know about this, but we have a lot to learn. The holiday shopping season is officially underway. Shoppers kicking it off yesterday by turning back out to stores for Black Friday. But tonight, many shoppers are wondering, where are the holiday deals they've gotten used to? Katie Beck has more.
For some Black Friday shoppers, the excitement to hunt for deals wasn't quite the thrill this year. Instead, sticker shock.
It's a lot different because all the prices are up.
Thanks to inflation, many shoppers found price tags were higher. And thanks to supply chain issues, the supply of what they wanted was lower.
A lot of stuff is out of stock online and in stores.
The average shopper expected to spend 9% more without the deep discounts of past years. Total online spending in the U.S. on Black Friday totaled $8.9 billion, slightly less than what consumers spent online last year. Experts say messaging about this year's supply disruptions impacted buying patterns.
Consumers are starting earlier, they're buying more earlier, and they're not waiting for discounts.
But even with a bigger strain on wallets, there's plenty of purchasing going on. It's predicted retail sales will grow between 8.5% and 10.5% this year. And MasterCard says their numbers indicate retail sales are up nearly 30% from 2020. Clothes, toys, and electronics among the items in highest demand.
Just closing out a year where consumers have been spending, where we know that consumers are in a fairly good place when it comes to their household balance sheets, when it comes to their income.
Retail experts also note the biggest online shopping day of the year still is yet to come. It's on Monday, Cyber Monday, when consumers are expected to spend between $10 and $11 billion.
Only consumers have a lot of spending power, and they are bringing all of that to the holiday season as they look to splurge on their family and friends.
And Katie joins us from Atlanta. Katie, how did in-store crowds yesterday compare to pre-pandemic levels?
Well, Jose, crowds were up 48% this year over last, but that's because last year a lot of shoppers stayed home due to pandemic fears and because retailers had reduced hours. But even though we're seeing the uptick this year, the numbers are still significantly smaller than they were in 2019 before the pandemic. Jose?
Katie, back in Atlanta, thank you. And in Washington, a firestorm over Republican Congresswoman Lauren Boebert's anti-Muslim remarks aimed at one of her colleagues. Boebert has now apologized. Democrats say it isn't enough. Here's Kelly O'Donnell.
Hi, everyone. I'm Lauren Boebert,
an outspoken newcomer to Congress.
America does not need and cannot afford this junk.
The 34-year-old Colorado Republican, married mom, gun rights enthusiast. Bravo. Lauren Boebert, well, ally of former President Trump, did something Trump detests. Boebert apologized. Under pressure, she tweeted this Friday. I apologize to anyone in the Muslim community I offended with my comment about Representative Omar. Minnesota Democrat Ilhan Omar is one of only three Muslims serving in Congress. In this video taken at an event, Boebert joked and seemed to suggest that Omar could be wearing explosives when with her in an elevator.
I looked to my left, and there she is, Ilhan Omar. And I said, well, she doesn't have a backpack. We should be fine.
Congresswoman Omar responded, saying I am a suicide bomber is no laughing matter. She writes, normalizing this bigotry not only endangers my life, but the lives of all Muslims. Speaker Pelosi and Democratic leadership called Boebert's comments deeply offensive and concerning, and slammed Republican leader Kevin McCarthy for his repeated failure to condemn inflammatory and bigoted rhetoric. McCarthy responded that Boebert apologized for what she said and has reached out to Congresswoman Omar to meet next week. Kelly O'Donnell, NBC News.
Still ahead, a new round of brazen smash-and-grab robberies. What one major retailer says they'll do to keep shoppers and employees safe. Also, how did hundreds of FedEx packages end up in the woods of Alabama? The investigation stumping authorities.
Hey guys, Willie Geist here, reminding you to check out the Sunday Sit Down podcast. On this week's episode, I get together with 16-time Grammy winner Alicia Keys to talk about a career full of beautiful music and the new Broadway musical inspired by her own life. You can get our conversation now for free wherever you download your podcasts.
Join Hoda Kotb for a brand new season of her podcast, Making Space.
For season 5, I am making space to talk to people who are providing a sense of hope and inspiration when life changes course.
Uplifting conversations with inspiring individuals like NFL legend Drew Brees, singer-songwriter Ziggy Marley, and Today Show co-anchor Savannah Guthrie as you have never heard her before.
I found faith more viscerally, not because the bad thing didn't happen, but because it did.
I promise you, like me, will leave these conversations with some wisdom for your own journey, empowered and inspired to make space in your own life.
New episodes of Making Space with Hoda Kotb are released every Wednesday. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
As we enter the busiest shopping season of the year, a shocking wave of so-called smash-and-grab robberies is on the rise, with more this weekend. Emily Ikeda reports on how retailers are fighting back.
As shoppers rush into stores for deals, so are mobs of thieves grabbing and going. Police call them flash mob thefts, a surge in crime plaguing businesses in their most robust time of year.
Is it changing the way any of your family members are shopping?
Yes, definitely. Especially my mother's generation. They definitely didn't want to go out at all to shop.
Overnight, more crime. High-end handbags snatched in Los Angeles. At a nearby Home Depot, a different target. Look closely, nearly 10 people running out with sledgehammers and crowbars.
They had the sledgehammers ready to hit people who were trying to stop them.
California is home to three of the top 10 worst cities for organized retail crime, according to a 2020 report from one trade group. Los Angeles taking the number one spot.
It's trying to get their hands on as much product as they can, specifically during a supply chain crisis, to try to get that product in the hands of the online sellers who want to list that product for the holidays.
The National Retail Federation says 75% of stores reported an increase of crimes like these during the pandemic. Last night in Minnesota, a Best Buy was hit. The retailer among companies making changes in response to rising crime, locking up products, hiring security guards, and brainstorming solutions with other retailers.
We are seeing more loosely organized groups come together and target our stores.
The company CEO, Corey Berry, on CNBC this week.
For our employees, these are traumatic experiences, and they are happening more and more across the country.
At least 10 people have been arrested in the LA area this week, and 12 more near San Francisco face charges. But dozens remain at large, leaving shoppers and stores on edge. Emily Ikeda, NBC News, Los Angeles.
We're back in a moment with the challenges that are making it harder than ever for small stores to survive. Plus the incredible images of a stowaway who traveled from Guatemala to Miami in the landing gear of a plane. We're back with the incredible footage of a stowaway who traveled in the landing gear of an American Airlines flight from Guatemala to Miami. Video shows the man sitting on the ground as airport personnel spoke to him and gave him water. Not only did the man survive the 2.5-hour flight, but witnesses say he appeared to be unharmed. The U.S. Customs and Border Patrol says the incident is under investigation. Tonight, an investigation is underway into how hundreds of FedEx packages ended up in the woods of Alabama. Earlier this week, 300 to 400 packages of various sizes were found in a ravine about 30 miles north of Birmingham, according to authorities. FedEx sent multiple trucks and drivers to pick up the shipments. Officials say it's still unclear how the packages got there. We've reported extensively on supply chain challenges, which large chain stores often have the means to work around. But for smaller independent stores, it's a much bigger challenge. On this Small Business Saturday, senior business correspondent Stephanie Rule looks at how some are finding a way.
Tis the season to shop small.
We're excited to see what happens.
This is a time of year that we really need to have a boom of sales.
It does feel like we're getting a little bit back to normal.
All across the country, mom and pop shops are praying for a holiday miracle this Small Business Saturday.
This is the fourth quarter, and this is where businesses like ours make it all up.
Means Cameron has run black-owned outerwear in Cincinnati for the past decade, but this holiday season has been particularly challenging.
Getting product on time and the cost of product going up. The cost of shipping is going up.
The nightmare before Christmas, marked by unprecedented supply chain disruptions. According to a survey from American Express, over half of small businesses are concerned about having enough inventory and enough labor to support their business this holiday season.
We've been waiting for a shipment of a certain product. Normally we'd get that in a turnaround of 2 to 3 weeks. It took us 4 months.
Small businesses like Melissa Brett's hardware store in Connecticut are increasingly losing out to the shopping giants like Amazon or Walmart, who can afford to charter their own transportation or choose their inventory.
Where we might be getting 50% of a certain order, for us, that might be only 10 items. But for a big box, that could be instead of 1,000, they're still getting 500.
Because of the mass volume that larger businesses are requiring, you know, small business owners, unfortunately, can be at the kind of end of the list for suppliers.
Walmart, for example, said its inventory is up 11.5% ahead of the holidays. At Target, it's up 18% from a year ago. Last holiday, we met Jenny Bergman, a toy store owner on New York's Upper West Side.
Right now, I think we're all just treading water.
This year, while some things are better, others aren't.
We're out of a lot of things that we would normally have right now.
Do you feel like this is going to be a good holiday shopping season?
I'm hopeful. I'm definitely hopeful. Gotta be, right?
Hoping for a happy holiday and a banner sales season. Stephanie Rule, NBC News, New York.
When we come back, honoring an angel. how one heroic pilot took on a mission to save the lives of hundreds.
Please, join me, Nevin. I'm going to ask Nevin.
There's good news tonight about real-life heroes and the World War II pilot who became a guardian angel for hundreds in need.
For 98-year-old Captain John Billings.
Sir, I salute you.
This was the special moment he was honored for helping others.
I'm profoundly humbled to present John Billings with the President's Lifetime Achievement Award.
The ceremony in Virginia last week, recognizing his outstanding commitment to volunteering.
How do you respond to people who call you a hero?
No, I'm not a hero.
His record of service, though, tells a much different story. The World War II U.S. Army Air Corps pilot awarded medals for his bravery and dedication. But it's his time spent on these life-saving flights that's given him an overwhelming sense of purpose and pride.
What has that been like?
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Since 2004, Captain Billings has flown his own plane for Angel Flight Mid-Atlantic, a nonprofit that transports patients for free to life-saving medical care in places far from their own homes.
John has flown 462 Angel Flight missions, which is unbelievable, all at his own cost.
Laps up. Touchdown.
By his side for most of these trips, his buddy and co-pilot, Nevin Showman.
It's been so rewarding. We have made so many friends. So many we have lost, but so many we have stayed in contact with.
John, you were the man who changed my life.
One of those patients was Elaine Tooley. When she didn't have the resources, they flew her from North Carolina to cancer treatments in Philadelphia. Now cancer-free, she says she'll never forget Captain Billings' kindness.
But once I met John, changed my life.
And while his days piloting these missions are now behind him.
You took me up with Nevin. Thank you.
It's this legacy, Captain Billings says, has been the most rewarding of his life.
I'm so grateful for having met John.
And when I asked Captain Billings what the secret is to a long life, he said, a good shot of good vodka every day. Cheers, Captain. That's NBC Nightly News for this Saturday. Kate Snow will be here tomorrow night. I'm Jose Diaz-Balart. Thank you for the privilege of your time. And good night.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jenna Bush Hager from Today with Hoda and Jenna and the Read with Jenna Book Club. There's nothing I love more than sharing my favorite reads with all of you, except maybe talking to the exceptional authors behind these stories. And that's what I'll be doing on my podcast, Read with Jenna. I'll be introducing you to some of my favorite writers. These conversations will leave you feeling inspired and entertained.
To start listening, just search Read with Jenna wherever you get your podcasts.